Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Over the past several months, we've spoken with many people on both sides of ballot question two. That's the question to lift the cap on charter schools. We've talked with some major donors on either side of the spectacularly expensive campaigns. We've talked with local officials and education policy experts. Well, today, we're going to hear from two parents. They have different views on question two, and let me make something clear. We are not trying to, and we are not interested in pitting parents against each other. That has been happening in this campaign, and I think it's a shame. Instead, we're simply going to hear what two parents want for their children's education. We're going to hear about their experiences and their stories. They are both mothers, and they both live in Boston. First, Shalina Semexent of Dorchester.
I have three beautiful children. Janae is 10 years old. She loves dancing and singing. Joshua loves video games. He's 7 years old. And Gianna, my five-year-old, she loves driving her older brother and sister crazy.
Well, Shalina's oldest daughter goes to the Dennis C. Haley Pilot School in Roslindale. That's a district school where the state has classified as a level three school, which means it's amongst the lowest 20% of similar schools. Shalina's two other children attend Kipp Academy Boston Charter School, which the state ranks as level one. She says Joshua and Gianna have a very different experience at school than her oldest daughter.
I see the progress in both Gianna and Joshua. For example, he just learned about rocket ships and space, and he comes home and he's able to explain about the planets. He's just in the second grade, and Gianna's reading right now, and she's only five. And then Janae comes home, and it's nothing. She hasn't been able to share any growth, anything she's learned in school. She's just coming home telling me everything that I've taught her this past summer.
Why do you think that is?
Janae is just one of many children out there who needs extra help in school, and I believe right now she's not getting the help. What breaks my heart is to know that her brother's catching up to her. It upsets her, it frustrates her that he can do her homework, and they're two grades apart from each other. I see how well my son articulates. My daughter, she's smart and she's brilliant, but academically, she's behind.
And what do you think is preventing her from getting the additional help or assistance that she needs at the pilot school?
Not enough time. My daughter has had challenges for many years. And one of the things that all her teachers have said to me is they don't have the time to work with her. So what I had to do was to fight for her to get an IEP. This past spring, she got an IEP. In the last 2 months, it's been at a standstill because there's been no progress and no growth with the IEP. So we're right back to where we've been. More crying for me, more crying for her, because I'm trying to figure out what I need to do as a mother to help her, and crying for her because she's in school for 7 hours and then she has to come home and sit another 3 hours and do more studying.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like you very strongly want all your children to be in charter schools. And so therefore, I'm going to guess that you support question two.
Yes, I do support question two.
Yeah. And what kind of conversations have you had, with other parents, both at your two younger kids' school?
Yes.
and also at your elder daughter's school as well about this issue?
See, all parents want quality education for their kids. At the charter schools, parents are thankful that their kids are getting that opportunity. At the Boston Public School, we don't have a voice. Our voice is not being heard, that our children are failing. And all we can do is go home and try to reteach our children what they're supposed to be doing in school for those hours.
What's your response to folks who say that if question two were to be passed, that since the money follows the student, more money would be removed from the district schools and put into charter schools, which would then make it even harder in the district schools to, try to get the kind of services that you're talking about that your elder daughter already doesn't get, that it would make it even harder for them to do that for the students who remain in the district?
We want our kids in the inner city to receive quality education. We want them to grow up and to be successful. That's what we want. Mm-hmm. So it truly breaks my heart that not lifting the cap would, I don't know how to say this, but a no on two would mean that there'll be more kids out there not getting quality education. A yes on two would mean more children would get that opportunity instead of staying in failing schools that are not giving them that quality of education.
Well, so, I mean, I completely hear you in terms of the passion and the commitment that you have for getting all your kids what they need. And obviously we know that there are many thousands of parents who feel the same, very same way. But I'm just wondering, what's your message for the parents of the, you know, the 90% of kids who do remain in district schools? That what's your message for them?
Right now, I am with those parents and I'm fighting. My daughter is just like everyone else. She's still in traditional public school. So on that end, I'm saying we want change. Understand that many of our kids learn differently. All kids don't learn the same way. And if change doesn't take place now, then what else do we have?
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that you're also a substitute teacher?
Yes, I am.
In the Boston Public Schools?
Yes.
So tell me about that.
It's a beautiful experience. Because I get to teach other kids. But it's heartbreaking when you see kids in a classroom who are dealing with challenges. It's heartbreaking when you see children in a classroom who are just like my daughter, who does not get it. And once that class time is up, I don't have any more time to go back and help them learn anything more than I can.
Is there anything about question two that you think would help the teachers who in the district schools get more time to spend with the students who need it?
I would love for people to walk into charter schools and just go observe. Take a day, go sit down in the classroom and observe how the teachers work with the students. See how you have a classroom of about 25 students in a charter school and there's two teachers in the classroom, and observe how she teaches her lessons and she's redirecting the kids. And after the lesson is done, she doesn't just stop. There's time to find out if the kids have learned what she's taught, and there's time within that time to go back and help the students who missed it the first time. Like, it's beautiful to watch the extra time they have in the classroom to go back and work with those students individually.
Mm-hmm. Overall, this question it seems to be really dividing people.
It is.
I mean, do you have conversations about question two with friends and neighbors? I mean, what are people around you saying?
I've had a lot of conversations. I try to remind people this is not a charter versus public school issue. It's really not. It's about our children. When you see something working, charter schools are working for many children out there, and you see the child is excelling and progressing, it's beautiful. As a mom, you have a sense of ease to know that your child is getting what they need. You have a sense of comfort. You don't have to wake up like, oh my goodness, she's missing it. She's missing that opportunity. And there's children that are in traditional public school, and they're being left behind. My daughter is with them being left behind. This might be another wasted year of her not getting caught up to where she needs to be. I mean, moms tell me, they share my story. But I say to them, why aren't you standing with me? You share my story, but why aren't you standing with me? Because nobody want to shake up anything. Nobody want to cause any problems. But there's people without a voice. I call them the voiceless people because they don't want to speak up. Hmm. It just breaks my heart. One of the things that I go around and I tell other parents, go into the school, and I'm talking about in BPS, ask the teacher where your child is on reading and math level. Hmm. Ask them. Last year, my son was in the first grade and my daughter was in the third grade. My son comes home and he's reading on the same grade level as my daughter. I had to question either he's advanced or she's behind. I went to her school first to find out, hey, can you let me know where my daughter is placed and what's going on with her? It took them 3 months to actually tell me where she was. They really didn't want to tell me how far behind she was. She started in the third grade and she's on a second grade level. That scared me. To know that, wait a minute, she's behind? My daughter has been here for 4 years. I've left her academics in the hands of BPS, and they never told me that she was so far behind. I knew she had challenges, but I didn't know to what extent her challenges were because they didn't inform me, you know? And I'm finding parents in the last couple of weeks that are coming back to me and saying, it's not good. It's not good. We were never told.
Well, and finally, we've been asking this question of everyone that we've talked to about question two. Are you on the staff of the Yes on Two campaign? Are you getting paid by Yes on Two in any way?
No, I am not. I am just a mom that cries daily because her daughter is not getting the education she will need. I'm just a mom that's passionate about this right now. So, no, I am not getting paid.
Well, Shalina Samexent, thank you so very much for sharing your thoughts and sharing your story. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we asked Boston Public Schools to comment on Shalina's assertion that she had to fight to get her daughter an IEP, or Individualized Education Program. BPS said it cannot comment publicly on confidential student information. They said in a statement that the Haley Pilot School uses, quote, an inclusion model of learning and, quote, works extensively with families to ensure the best possible outcome for all students. Well, let's hear now from a parent with a different view on question two. Keisha Lewis is a paraprofessional in the Boston Public Schools. She works with students on the autism spectrum, and she's also the parent of children who attend district schools.
Well, I have three children, 12, 5, and 11 months, two boys and a girl. Two of my boys go to Boston Public School, and my baby obviously is at home. They're great.
Her sons attend Beethoven Elementary School in Roslindale and the William H. Orenberger School in West Roxbury, a level 2 school. Lewis told us that not all Boston schools are in the top tier, but she believes local accountability and parental support are essential to fixing those schools, and she sees evidence of how that can work at her son's own schools right now.
I think the best thing about the schools they're in right now is the parent participation. They really try to stick together and make sure they do the best they can by the students. The parents are really, really active in those schools. However, there are lots of schools in Boston, and they're not all as active. Those same schools in that same neighborhood also got some cuts this past year. So as much as the parents are trying, you know, they're kind of swimming against the current, so to speak.
And how have you seen your sons grow in the years that they've been in the schools?
My oldest son, you know, he ended up with some really great teachers. He's a little shy. They brought him out of his shell. His school has a music program. They have all the sports at his school, K-8.
Have you spoken with parents who have sent their kids or have chosen a charter school instead of their district school?
I know a couple of people who had some really good experiences. However, I know more people who've had negative experiences. Some of the kids had IEPs, and then a couple of them had some other social-emotional situations, and the schools kind of said that this is not a good fit, you're not going to make it here.
They were told that?
The school told the student / parent that, you know, this is not a good fit for her. We're going to send her back to public school. You know, you should try there. And so it's funny how they'll say that the public school doesn't have certain things, but when they can't handle the student, that's where they send them back to.
Now, let me ask you, you're also a teacher in the Boston
Public
Schools?
I'm a teacher's assistant.
You're a teacher's assistant.
I teach in the summer, but my regular position is a teacher's assistant, which is called a paraprofessional. I work with children diagnosed with autism.
Okay, so tell me what that's like.
Oh, well, I love my job. It's fantastic, actually. I'm really close with all of my students. I've worked with families to help with behaviors outside of work on my own time. So I really get involved and roll my sleeves up, but I absolutely love what I do. And that's another reason why I'm well aware of who the charter, some certain charter schools can take and can't take. They won't take some of my students. But, you know, in my school, we have, 32 students? Huh. Diagnosed with autism, and we have other students diagnosed with other disabilities. And we've done everything we can to keep the resources going, to make sure that we provide the best educational experience for them, not just for their academics, but also socially, which is equally important.
Do you have any concerns about if question two passes, is it possible that it would have an impact on the work that you do?
Absolutely. You know, resources are taken away. So first they'll start with, you know, music or theater, a language, an art program. And in order for students to excel, they have to be well-rounded. You need your academics, but you also need these extracurricular activities. You need these electives. You know, music is really important. The arts is really important. And in order for students to be able to compete with, you know, maybe children at an elite private school, or they're going to have the resources and have to have the exposure to all those resources. And every time they take money away, we're losing them. The school I work at lost several teachers last year. And it really put a strain on how they teach. They had to change the schedule of the whole school. Eventually, it's going to hurt the students.
Yeah. Are any of the students that you work with directly, had any of them been in a charter school?
Oh, no. The students that I work with would probably not be a fit there.
Are they high needs students?
Yes.
Okay.
And we have a program set up for them throughout the city, and different schools within our district are set up for them. So it's very rare that they would be able to go to a different school unless it was a private school.
I see. Okay. Now, what do you say to folks who might be hearing this and saying, well, I'm one of those parents whose school that my kid was placed in Boston isn't one like the ones that your sons
right.
are in, and it's not exactly what I need, and I'd rather send my child to a charter school.
The thing with question two, which is separate from you choosing a charter school for your child, is all the children left behind. So I think what's going on here is it's kind of they're trying to put parents against parents. Like, okay, this is public school parents against charter school parents. Absolutely not. That's not what this is about. The people who are manipulating the situation are behind the scenes. It's not the parents. It's not the teachers. I personally believe for my own kids, I want to keep them in public school because we have to make public school accountable. If something's not working, we don't just throw it away and ditch that idea and go somewhere else. No, we make it work here. Public education is everyone's right. Everyone's entitled to public education. Well, you know what? If that's the case, let's make sure that we get the job done in the public sector where we're supposed to do it.
So I hear you saying that you believe the best thing for you and your children is to stay in the district school system and be part of
the solution.
The solution.
Absolutely. You know, I think that's why some schools are thriving, because the parents all feel that same way. And they're like, you know what? We have to hold you accountable. Let's make sure this school stays great. You know, I'm not saying it's easy or a quick fix, but we have a great school district here. We have the first school district in the country. We have great educators. And I think we need to remember, you know, the history that the city has come from. It's a great place to learn. You know, you look at inner cities all over the country, and in comparison, we're actually doing pretty well. But I think people should be more a part of the solution and not just abandon what actually is their right. But here in the public school system, we have to answer to the parent, which I think we should. Parents are who we have to answer to. They're the public. And I have no problem with private schools. Private schools are great. However, private schools are not getting money from the public, which is the point.
Some folks would say, though, that charter schools do have accountability. It may not be to the local district, but they have accountability to the state, because the state reviews their charters every 5 years.
Right. And, you know, they probably would say that. But, I mean, that's just their way of getting by. I just don't think that that's honest, because they should be accountable to the public in the neighborhoods, actually. You can go to your neighborhood school and the playgrounds, you can, you know, your kids can play in the playground on a Saturday. It's a Boston public school. That's a city park. You can play there. You can use the facilities. You can ask to use facilities for different reasons. But you can't do that when it's taken away and used privately. It's our school. There are buildings. And I think we just need to remember that and make our schools continue to make them great. I mean, we have some great schools. And I think people just kind of get caught up in the one bad school over here or the one bad situation over here. But we have to think about the big picture.
I'm so grateful that you've come in. And actually, I'm grateful to every parent who's spoken to us, because I don't ever want to come across as being a person who's pitting parent against parent. Because I think you've pointed that out. That's not how we should be talking about this. So I just want to make it clear that
but it has gone, you know, even myself, when I'm talking to people, it goes that way sometimes by accident. You know, it's not on purpose. But when people feel passionate about something,
yeah,
it can get lost in translation, I guess.
Well, let me ask you, why do you think question two is so important?
It's important because education is more important than just about anything. I would just say that voting no on question two keeps it with us. We know what we need to fix. We know what's working, and we need to keep that. But if we have someone take it away from us, then our hands are tied. We'll have no rights. We'll have no voice. The public won't have a say. And for the city who has the first public school in America, you know, I think that's a pretty big deal. I mean, this is historic.
Well, you know, last question, and this is something that because of all the money that's been pouring in about question two, I got to ask everybody, have you received any money from the No on Two campaign? Are you being paid by them?
No. You know, what I think about the most as far as question two is I think about my children and my grandchildren. That's why it's so important to me. I mean, obviously, my kids are already in school. It won't be an immediate effect on my children. But think about what's going to happen down the line. And so I think about, you know, my grandchildren and how will they have the same opportunities? Will they be able to get the same education that I'm giving to my kids now? Or would they have to pay for it? Will they have to fight for it? You know, I'm worried about that. I'm worried about what's going to happen for our future and how education may be harder to obtain because there are going to be different set of rules for different people.
Well, Keisha Lewis is both a Boston Public School parent and a paraprofessional in the Boston Public Schools. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And I'll add that Keisha is also a member of the Boston Teachers Union. Again, we heard a differing view on question two from Shalina Semexent of Dorchester earlier in this segment. I want to thank them both for sharing their stories. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.